You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
So I think we should call him since we think he's going to could have a chance at being the defensive player of the year. No Pierre Jair.
All right, who said that?
Yeah, who said
me?
That?
I made that up.
No, see, now you're like the boy who cried wolf.
Edie Angeli,
no Pierre Jair.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime Cheesehead Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there with that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers going deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's the best.
Defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season. Your trio of hosts are with you again tonight. First, we have the happily right Kelly Hodgson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter. Joining us is the happily wrong CD Angeli, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. So that's who we are. Now let's get to the Packer Playbook.
The Playbook.
All right, Cheesehead Nation. Green Bay Packers, 1-0 with an impressive victory over the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins. It looked great, and all of us completely saw this coming. A huge victory we saw coming last week. No issues at all.
You stinking liar.
I'm pretty sure we all picked them last week.
Oh, I certainly picked
Kelly?
Them. Al, did you pick them?
I certainly did. What did CD pick, Kelly?
Yeah,
do you recall?
Oh, yeah, let's see. CD, thinking he was edgy and stuff, said, hey, let's pick the Vikings.
And not only edgy. That, I think like, he picked them by like 10 points or something.
Like a billion points. It's like he didn't even pick the Vikings to win. He picked the Vikings to demolish the Packers.
That was terrible. I mean, what the hell was he thinking? My goodness.
So in my defense.
No, there's no defense.
Luck with that.
There
what is defense?
There is no defense.
You picked the enemy team. It's not like, hey, I'm going to pick Tampa Bay because Tom Brady's playing. It's like, no, we're going to pick the team that are the biggest weenies, you know, an hour from my border.
Biggest weenies, an hour from my border. Okay.
Live in a border town. It's no fun having Vikings fans.
Now that I know they're weenies, I wouldn't have picked them. No, I'll tell you this. I stand by the rationale.
I don't even want to hear.
CD, you've heard the phrase when you're in a hole.
Defend yourself. Come on, stop.
Dude, when you're in a hole, quit digging.
Yes.
Stop. No, just listen.
Listen to reason.
That's why I'm trying to talk. Now,
listen to Kelly. Stop.
No,
digging.
No. No, that's not reason. Anyway, I said the Packers were going to come down to one thing. And that was the ability of the offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers. Now, what I predicted is that they were not going to do a good job of protecting Aaron Rodgers. And in reality, they did.
So you were wrong.
I was wrong, but for the right reason.
That's all. No.
And the fact that they did
so
well.
Wrong.
Aaron Rodgers had a career game. His wide receivers
as I predicted.
Had a career game. But what is going kind of unmentioned is the fact that that offensive line held together. We're not talking about it because you never talk
it.
Well now, but you don't talk about the offensive line when they do well.
It's like a giant.
You obviously did not read my column today on Cheesehead TV. Right, because there was no paucity of offensive line talk there. It was practically all offensive line. When I was done with it, I was like, holy cow.
Paucity. What is paucity? You don't even
lack
know.
Lack thereof.
Lack, yeah. Paucity is not very little of something.
Yeah.
Gather around, kids, while CD learns a 50-cent word. The word of the day is paucity.
I said it was not a paucity. The opposite.
This is like a giant cable knit sweater that CD keeps knitting and knitting, and we keep unraveling and unraveling.
I think he needs a TED talk or something.
I was wrong. It's fine. I was wrong, but I was wrong because.
Wrong.
Say it one more time, CD, so the people in the back row can hear.
Because of the offensive line. Now.
Who the hell cares why? You were wrong.
And I was right. Hooray, I win.
Hell. Blind squirrel. Anyway, so Lane Taylor,
moving right along.
Speaking of the offensive line,
yes.
is presently out for the season. I think, Kelly, you even mentioned, you kind of saw it coming. I remember you saying right away on Twitter, oh, this isn't looking good.
So at first I was dazzled by him landing on his arm like, man, he broke his arm. But then it went on and on and on, and you don't go out on a cart for a broken arm. Yeah, they're saying he's got a knee, and that's all they've said. But if he needs surgery, you know, not, I'm 99.9% certain it's his ACL, which means he is gone until training camp next year.
I mean, when they showed the replay from behind the play, and you saw the knee buckle like that. And after that, the announcers are still talking about his shoulder. Like, oh, it's about his shoulder, I think, and hit the ground. Like, come on, guys, watch the freaking replay.
Yeah, and then I got a whole bunch of tweets at me. They're like, did he break his collarbone like Rodgers? I'm like, Rodgers walked off under his own strength when he broke his collarbone.
Right, when he's down, he's holding his knee, all right, clue number two, right? then the guys come out, the doctors or the trainers, whatever, come out, and, you know, they're looking at his knee, clue number three. You know, and they're still talking about the shoulder, which was driving me crazy. But I knew it wasn't. Here's a subtle little thing. When the guy is down and the trainer's out and they keep like patting him on the back, you know, like comforting or whatever, you know, it's bad. Right.
It's
you
always know it's, season ending. That
yeah, exactly. Way. As soon as you see that, you know, like they're comforting him, you know, that the guy's probably as mad as he is in pain, you know, and they know what's happening. So,
you know, it's never a good sign when Rodgers is standing next to you acting like, I'm sorry, your dog died.
Yeah. So anyway, we don't have Lane Taylor for this season. Shame with how hard he worked to get back from last year's injury. And really, I mean, I think he had proven that he might have been the best choice to start at right guard for the Packers, you know.
And it really sounded like he had an outstanding camp. And from what we saw during that game, he was on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. He played very well up until that point. So sorry for him. You know.
So kind of a surprise on the offensive line, John Runyon.
who was pressed into service because Lucas Patrick also got hurt.
Craziness. So really a makeshift line who ended up doing a fantastic, I mean, dominating job. Against the Viking defensive front.
Yes, absolutely.
And it gave Rodgers time to find someone that was open and let these plays just evolve. I think I counted 8 seconds on one play where he was able to hold on to the ball before he had to let it go, and he had no one around him.
Yeah, the bad side of this is if you look at the Packers injury report, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 offensive linemen, including Taylor, so we can eliminate him. 3 offensive linemen that had limited participation today in practice. Jenkins, Patrick, and Turner.
But nobody was out other than Taylor. That's better than last week.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kenny Clark was out, but that's obviously we're talking offensive line. So.
But how do we always end up in this situation every year? You know that just the mechanics of playing the O-line is hard on knees, it's hard on backs, and you know that you're going to have to need more than 5 people at any given time that are healthy because it's just the wear and tear line. How can we always find ourselves behind the 8-ball?
It's funny. They years past, you know, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, they used to keep a heavy dose of offensive linemen on the roster, you know, 9, 10 even. And it seems like the last few years they've kind of rolled
7,
the dice
8.
A little bit. Yeah. They've rolled the dice a little bit, which has always made me nervous, you know, and this is the reason why. Now, obviously, they have people on the practice squad, and actually, they signed somebody, right? They signed an offensive lineman, but some guy who hadn't played since 2016, I think I was reading.
As long as his name is not Jason Spriggs, I'm willing to give him a try. I am still salty about the, him as a second round draft choice. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think the jury will be out on them next week. But if the first week was any indication, I think the Packers are doing the best they can with what they have. So that's excellent. Switching topics, someone who's doing really well that maybe had a little bit of a sophomore slump last year, Jaire Alexander. The year of Jaire? Could we be in for the year of Jaire?
The year of Jaire.
Do you lay up bed at night coming up with these things?
You copyright that? I'd copyright that right now.
Like Swervin' Irvin?
Make a t-shirt. No, as usual, he heard somebody else on Twitter say it, so he's just stealing it.
I'm stealing it. I have no issue.
There you go. See, he admits it. Readily admits it.
He readily admits it. All
just
right.
Like Swervin' Irvin. He readily admits stealing that, too.
That was debatable, though. We had to look and see if he actually stole it.
No, we proved that somebody else came out with it. I went back.
Oh, you did. I remember.
I searched the Twitter archives just to prove that he stole it, and we did prove that he stole it. But that's
Jaire,
okay.
If he has a season that was like game one, he's going to be one of the most terrifying defensive players out there. Could make a run for defensive player of the year. I know that's an early prediction, but he was just lights out fantastic. He was everywhere and he didn't screw up like he did last year. He had a great sense of where he was in time and space, which really was a problem last year.
And when was the last time you guys remember seeing a corner blitz that actually worked?
That we saw coming a mile away.
Not I mean, from
especially
the
from the angle that we were watching it from. I mean, you saw him line up, you saw him going there and says, oh, well, obviously, they're going to quickly pass it. Nope. No one saw it coming except for all of us on TV. And, you know, Cousins got smacked. That was awesome.
Yeah, what happened was, they were talking about this, and he was actually expecting a run, okay, when he saw the wide receiver kind of go into motion and get closer to the rest of the team there, line up kind of in the slot. He said, all right, they're probably running it. So he jumped in to kind of, you know, jump into the gap. Looked up and saw that they're not running it, you know. He said, well, gee, I'm kind of stuck now. I better just keep going. What helped him was when he noticed that it was not a run, he was actually behind a bunch of offensive and defensive players. You know, there was like the offensive tackle and whoever the Packers defensive end was at the time, probably Zadarius, but I'm not sure. And he was kind of like hidden behind them. And when he saw that it wasn't a run, then he just kind of like came out into the clear around him, and it was on top of Cousins before he even saw him. So he kind of had like a shield that stopped Cousins from seeing him, which helped.
I think the best comment I saw on Twitter right after it was, hey, is this porn? Yes, it was football porn. It was that it was satisfying and it had a kerpow factor to it. And like, we have not seen the Packers do this. I think the last time, maybe 2010, 2011 is when I can remember it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the aggressiveness there. And really, that's a good place to do it, right? I mean, if it doesn't work, at least the team is deep in their own zone and they complete a pass or whatever, all right, it's not the end of the world. Odds are good. You're not giving up a touchdown or anything on that play. So it's really a good time to be aggressive and take chances like that.
And it really puts other defenses on notice that we are not two-dimensional, that you might get something that you don't expect. Where I think in the years past, a couple of years past, you know, everything, offense and defense, was very stale and very predictable. And to send Jaire guns blazing at the quarterback, I didn't expect that to happen. And it was really a delight to see this aggressiveness again.
So I think we should call him, since we think he's going to could have a chance at being the defensive player of the year. No Pierre Jaire.
All right. Who said that?
Yeah. Who said
me?
That?
I made that up.
No. See, now you're like the boy who cried wolf and no one's going to believe you.
Okay. Let's timestamp it. It is 8:40 p.m. Central Daylight Time in Wisconsin.
Petey Angeli.
No Pierre Jaire.
But you know, now that we've declared him that, I hope we didn't curse him, because I'm incredibly superstitious that way. But it wasn't just that corner blitz. He was everywhere. He even had just that made Kirk Cousins look silly interception.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, and he had a couple of nice hits out in the open field, nice tackles. So he's not afraid to do that, which is great. So all around, a great start to the season for a Giant.
It was a statement game for him because last year he just kind of succumbed to mediocrity so many times. And this was really refreshing to have a new and improved version of Jair.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, move on to a certain player. I can't remember, number 12, I remember seeing him play. I can't remember his name. But boy, did he make an impression on Sunday. Aaron Charles Rodgers.
With a chip on his shoulder, yes. The size of Montana.
So what's different? How did this happen?
Well, let's hear from the Vikings coach who was talking about it after the game, and they were talking about Rodgers, and you know, he said a few things before this, but I'll pick it up in the middle of his answer. We didn't get much pressure on him. Part of it is he got the ball out a lot. Most of the time, the ball was out in 2.5 seconds. Well, gee, isn't that kind of what we've all been saying for the last 5 years? Like, get rid of the ball and don't hold it.
Did they still have that timer in the on the practice field that lets them know? It's like, okay, 2 seconds. Bah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But then he held on to the ball for that one play for like 8 seconds. He's kind of dancing around in the back.
Well, yeah, because he could, because, you know.
Because the line was that good.
Bakhtiari was holding up his guy for in front of him for 8 seconds or whatever. But that was that was not the norm. You know, the norm was he picked out his receiver right away. Boom, threw the ball, completion, next play.
And one thing I noticed, too, was he wasn't counting down to zero on the clock. He was getting it off sooner sometimes. Faster, crisper.
Sometimes.
Other times it's like,
and
of course.
He did waste timeouts.
Oh, yes.
Just three of them.
Perhaps. Yeah. We didn't fix that problem yet.
But at the same time, this is the Aaron Rodgers that doesn't like to make mistakes. He obviously saw something when he called timeout, not just like, oh God, I'm running out of time. Because sometimes it wasn't as time was elapsing. It was he saw something he didn't like. One thing I did notice is he wasn't scrambling for his life like he was a lot last year. He seemed very comfortable in the pocket. And did he even run for any plays yet on Sunday? I don't think I can recall any.
No. I mean, he ran out of the pocket, but always threw the ball.
Yeah, he never.
Yeah, I don't think he actually had any rushing attempts. Yeah.
So that was definitely different. So that tells me.
Not that I remember.
So that tells me a couple things. It tells me that the receivers are actually getting open like they weren't last year, and he's not running for his life, and because the line is stouter this year. So that's a good combination to get Rodgers really into the groove.
I'd say.
And I remember seeing someone discuss the schematics of the route running and how the receivers are running the routes, which is designed to pull defenders and get somebody open. Whereas I think in the past, this whole playground football game that Aaron Rodgers liked to play, which was everyone run downfield and get open and I'll just run around until you're open. And you know, a lot of the young receivers just gave up after 3 or 4 seconds. What you really saw was the strategy of the route running was pulling someone open, usually Devontae over the middle, which is usually not where he wanted to go. And he was getting open, you know, right downfield, maybe for those short passes and converting a first down. You gradually went down the field. It wasn't always going back and looking for the bomb. You know, he was ready to play, especially early that first drive, a lot of nickel and diming, a lot of short passes, a lot of, handoffs and getting down the field slowly and effectively and winning that battle of time of possession.
Yeah. He did have one run for 2 yards. I don't remember when, but
I don't either because
that's what the stats say.
Because, it's a bad day for the offense when he has the highest rushing yards of anybody, which just tells me he's running for his life.
Right.
And now that he's getting older and his knees aren't getting younger and he already has one reconstructed knee from many moons ago, I think you're going to see him evolve more into a Tom Brady-esque type receiver that just doesn't really run and just throws it for the vast majority of the time.
As long as they're completions, we're good with that.
But, I think not just to give Rodgers credit, because I think he was really he was on fire. The receivers seemed to me that they were running cleaner routes. it wasn't like CD said, they weren't playing a game of 500 where it's just go down and let me find something that's open. They were crisp because look at each time they scored, Rodgers was throwing it on a dime each time.
Yeah, it seemed like they were scheming them open very well. Like LaFleur had a really good game plan. I mean, they had the two really young cornerbacks, which they went after and took advantage of as they should. And I think they came up with a really good game plan. And the result was very nice to watch.
All right. Well, and speaking of which, and going to receivers, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Oh, we just had some nightmares of some of the return of his, his underwhelmingness of last year. Made a great catch, fantastic catch for a touchdown. And then all of a sudden, boom, balls, it was two plays in a row, bounces off his hands. And we're like, it's the old MVS, put him on the bench, don't throw to him again. I think collectively, all of Packers Twitter said that in one unified voice, and one person disagreed with us. And who was that?
Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, that was an easy one. Keep that in.
And I don't think Rodgers would have kept going to him last year. So something is clicking with the two of them. Because MBS still reminds me of that childhood rhyme, there once was a girl with a little curl in the middle of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid. That's often MBS. And last year, I think Rodgers would be like, screw it, I'm just going to Adams. But he kept going back to him until he scored.
He was sending a message. I think he was sending, because, I mean, he spent all camp talking up MVS and praising him and you know, talking about his how hard he was working and all that stuff. And you get into the game and gets a couple of drops, and it's like, all right, what do I do? And I think he said, you know what? I got some trust in him this camp. I'm going to show him now that I still trust him, and I'm going to go back to him. And you know what? It worked out perfectly. And it's probably the best thing that could have happened to MVS in terms of his mental state and confidence to know that his quarterback went right back to him and said, hey, you're going to be a big part of this win. So I think that was a really cool thing that Rodgers did, actually.
And I think we were being really hypercritical of MVS because of his track record. But look at this very odd season. There was very little preseason practice. There were no preseason games. I expected some of the rust to get shaken out during this game. And the fact that it was only a few drops and not a lot of drops, I think it's acceptable because it was game one.
Well, and I do think that Rodgers has to be aware that, you know, yes, he doesn't have a stable full of tremendous weapons. He has Davante Adams and then the same stable of other guys that he had. And he really can't afford for MVS to fall off the map again like he did last year. So it's a wise decision on his part to say, you know what? No, don't you put your head down. Don't you start, you know, feeling sorry for yourself. You're a part of this offense. And it helps Rodgers. It helps this offense to keep him involved. He needs to stay engaged, and that was a great move on his part.
And when he's scoring and he's accurate in his receptions, it takes a lot of heat off of Adams because now he's not getting dogpiled on every play, assuming it's going to go, the ball's going to go to him. You know, MBS now is going to draw coverage more consistently.
On the other side of the ball, we had some great stuff from the defense. I think we had a number of great stands that maybe we weren't expecting, particularly early on in the game. But in the end, the defense did give up 34 points to Kirk Cousins. And I know, yes, there were some garbage time stuff at the end.
14 points of garbage time, CD.
Yeah. It's still 34 points.
Garbage time started at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Come on.
In the end, it was a 9-point game. And the trouble is, you saw this happen. They would string together three great possessions and play solidly and hold them down. And then all of a sudden they just get a possession. It wasn't all at the end of the game. There were a couple in, you know, during the game where suddenly they just start passing downfield and you're like, stop them, stop them. And they go right in for a touchdown. So
still
the concern that our consistency is inconsistency.
Yeah. The disturbing part about it was how fast the Vikings were able to score. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you give up two touchdowns in garbage time and you made them drive down the field and take 6 minutes off the clock, right? That's fine.
Right.
But that's not what happened, right? So that's the disturbing part. That's like a mental a letdown, if you ask me, that they just lost focus for that period of time. And next thing you know, Vikings have scored 2 touchdowns. So hopefully that's something, and I'm sure that's something that they'll hear about from the coaches nonstop this week. And hopefully they can get that out of their system.
And this kind of leads into our next discussion point, but didn't those last 14 points come after Kenny Clark left with an injury?
Yes.
So let's connect the dots.
Well, it's not like they were running that much at that point. I mean, they were mostly throwing the ball, so I don't know that you can really make that direct connection. I think in the third quarter, I think is where you saw that manifest itself more, where they actually ran the ball more. But once they got behind, then it was just, all right, let's just air it out.
Well, speaking of Kenny Clark.
Talked
about him. I guess he came out today, said he slipped. They've been kind of hinting all week. I know LaFleur kind of said, oh, I got some good news for you later in this week, and had a big smile. So it doesn't sound serious, but it does sound like a groin strain. He had slipped. Still said there's no timetable for the return, but I don't know, I'm guessing that it doesn't look nearly as serious as our other injury.
Well, if LaFleur is being coy about it, it doesn't sound like it's serious. Like, oh, I've got some good news later in the week. It doesn't tell me, like, oh, he's going to be out 3 to 6 weeks. An injury like this is going to be gauged by pain level. Can you tolerate it? Does it affect your flexibility? Does it affect your mobility? And what's the relative pain of it all?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think we should be happy the way it's trending right now. That's what little information we have. You know, we haven't heard that he's going to be out for 8 weeks or whatever. You know, if he misses a game, fine. Misses 2 games, okay. But it doesn't sound like it might be any more than that, if that. So hoping that that's a positive sign there.
And one thing that stuck with me was when he left, he wasn't walking with a limp. He didn't look super uncomfortable. My guess is it was starting to tighten up.
Yeah.
I think it was wise. And I think this is the type of injury you can be conservative on. You know, take him out now. We're ahead. So why risk the injury, you know, further injury, and just let him rest up until he's ready to go again? Because you know, who knows? If things go well, he may suit up in Green Bay on Sunday. We don't know.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Another little piece of, I guess, good news was Swervin Irvin, our former running back. And I did not come up with that, but I was one of the first to use it in this particular context. Swervin Irvin, the former running back, turned now wide receiver.
Or is he? We don't know.
No, what he is.
He's still listed as a running back.
But officially, I know that one reverse that he did, I know that was a play they used to try to run with Geronimo Allison quite a bit last year. And,
yeah.
But it looks so much better with Irvin.
Yeah, there's no comparison there. That's for sure.
Yeah. So and definitely a look from LaFleur saying we're willing to do some different things. You think players are getting not only more comfortable with his offense in general, but he's really learning how to use the players that he has and maximizing what they have to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Irvin had 3 carries for 38 yards, a 12.7 average. Not too shabby.
Shabby at all. And even the rookie got to play. We had all 4 running backs in the game at one time or another.
Yeah, he averaged seven yards a carry in his 2 carries. Not too shabby. Our running back group is looking pretty nice. I just wanted to see how many snaps Irvin actually had real quick. 14. Okay, he was in for 14 snaps. So he had Jones with 42, Jamal Williams with 31, Irvin with 14, and Dylan with 5.
Now your defense has to account for him on those 14 plays. Because if you have Aaron Jones in the backfield, you know what's coming. You put Jamal Williams or A.J. Dillon in the backfield, you know that's coming in probably a slightly different way. It's coming more probably straight at you and going to run over you. But now you put in Swervin Irvin. Now you have this lateral play that can burn you. And so, yeah, it's going to keep defenses on their toes because now you have really 3 different ways that a different running back can hurt you.
Yeah.
And finally,
last on our list.
I'll let you guys take this one. Go ahead.
Josiah DeGuara. Blocking dynamo. Packers Twitter is all a flutter or all a Twitter about the block by DeGuara on the end around by Lazard, where he took out not one, but two Vikings at the same time. And this was just not any old block. It's not your, you know, typical block. It's the type of block you don't see anymore. This was an old school cut block and just take the guy out completely. You just don't see that anymore because there's so many rules against that, you know, for, you know, protecting people's knees or whatever. There's all types of stipulations. Can't be engaged with somebody. It can't be coming back as a crack block. But this was perfectly legal, beautifully done, and just reminded me of some old school football. And what I did is I went and I clipped a video and I slowed it down. I put it in slow motion. If you haven't seen it in slow motion, it's just such a I wish I was talented enough to put music to it as well. But in any case, it's just so great to watch in slow motion as you see the Viking players falling down like bowling pins one after the other. And I tweeted it out. So if you haven't seen it, you want to see it, just check my timeline.
It needs like the theme. The Titanic or something. It was really fun to watch. And I kept looking around for a flag. It's like, he didn't get busted for this. I'm sure they're going to bust him for this somehow. Because it was so old school beautiful. It was kind of like he was a snowplow and just knocking things out of his way.
Well, what was the movie about the marathon runner?
Forrest Gump?
No. Prefontaine?
No. He was a marathon runner.
Marathon Man?
Was that it? No.
No, that's the one with the psychotic dentist.
Yeah, no, that was it. It's
close.
It's an old movie, like probably early 70s or so. It won an Academy Award. Best
when I was in grade school, may not have ever.
We weren't alive then, Al.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I had a bedtime at like 8:30 at the time, Al.
I have the music stuck in my head, you know, like, oh, it would have been perfect. No. Go ahead. Continue on. I'll see if I can remember that.
We're going to wait on pins and needles for that.
I'm sure.
Yes. All right, guys, that's the end of the playbook. Time to move on to our next segment, our Hot Pockets.
Come on. Hot Pockets, herb sauce,
cheesy drizzle.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we've reached the point in the show where each of us get a final moment to get up on our soapbox and read you all the riot act of whatever's going on inside our heads. This is our Hot Pockets. Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm up first. All right, let me get back in there.
It is actually like that every week, Al.
Yeah, I know. All right, so as I predicted, and CD did not, Aaron Rodgers sliced and diced the Viking secondary and their young cornerbacks en route to a big division win. While Rodgers proved that, much like Mark Twain, reports of his death were greatly exaggerated, we shouldn't get carried away. And yet, that's just what we're hearing. After a full winter of Rodgers is regressing and the Jordan Love draft pick signals the end of Rodgers in Green Bay, the winds of the internet have shifted with hurricane-like speed in the opposite direction. Suddenly, many of those same talking heads are coming out with proclamations that Rodgers is the GOAT, he's still elite, he'll be the MVP, etc., all after one game. Now look, I'm all on board with a Rodgers return to excellence, and it's what I'm expecting. But let's allow the season to play out a bit before jumping on the overhype train. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
In my lifetime, I've seen 4 Packer wide receivers who I've deemed are truly freakish talents. The kind of freakish talents where, in their prime, they're literally able to toy with world-class athletes trying to cover them. For me, first there was James Lofton, and then perhaps the best of all, Sterling Sharp. And while he's not the most popular of players nowadays, in his prime, Greg Jennings also earned a spot in this list. But the latest member of the freakish talent club, Devontae Adams. For all the talk about Aaron Rodgers on Sunday, don't forget that Adams is becoming not only his safety valve, but his deep threat for this offense. 14 receptions, it's a record, and we just take this for granted? No. Devontae Adams has grown into this role, and it's high time we appreciate him for playing at this level. Yes, Aaron Rodgers makes every wide receiver he plays with look better. He does make Devontae Adams that much better. But on Sunday, we watched Devontae Adams make Rodgers that much better as well. 14 receptions while in bracket coverage? That opens the door for pedestrian receivers like Alan Lazard and MVS to now be able to go make an impact as well. It makes the quarterback look better, and that's a freakish talent. It's rare. We only see it once in a decade that we'll see this in Lambeau Field. But Devontae Adams, you are the man. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Speaking of receivers, remember how all the talk last week, and for that matter, since April in the draft, was how the Packers didn't have any receivers, that they totally dropped the ball and didn't draft a single one. Well, guess what? I guess it didn't matter. Sure, MVS dropped a crucial catch, and that would have, in the past, been the death knell for him. But it was incredibly encouraging that Rodgers went back to him almost immediately and had trusted him enough with that touchdown pass. No, it's not a flashy receiver core by any stretch of the imagination. And we know that the talent drops pretty significantly after Adams on the depth chart. But if last week showed us anything, it's that Rodgers trusts every member of his receiving core. So don't get all dazzled by the shiny this week. Yes, there are rumors that OBJ is going to be shopped around. No doubt the Packers have and will be mentioned as potential a landing place for him. But you don't need flashy or shiny to get the job done. And the one thing the Packers have right now is chemistry between Rodgers and all of his receivers. OBJ is nothing but a giant sack of drama. Do you want that type of malignancy in the locker room disrupting this type of chemistry that we have? I don't think so. We have exactly what we need, and we don't need to be going looking for more. We have Adams, MVS, Lazard, and EQSB. We have enough alphabet soup already, and we don't need an OBJ. That is my
Hot Pockets.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer Game Predictions.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The Packers got off to a great start against one division rival last week, and they now host Detroit for their next game. Now, Detroit, which managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory last week, will likely be playing with a chip on their shoulders, but will it be enough? The odds makers say the Packers are a 5.5-point favorite, so what do we say, Kelly? We'll start with you.
The Lions hung in it for a long time last week, but at the end of the day, they managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory like they're notorious for. In other words, the Lions are going to lion early and often. They're not nearly as stout of a team as the Vikings were last week, but they're also not a team to sleep on. I expect Matthew Stafford to show his true colors once again. It'll be close, but the Packers will win out. Packers 34, Lions 24.
Now, do you think I'm going to be silly enough to pick against the Packers again this week? No, because I'll never live it down, as you all know. But I also don't think this is going to be a case. It should be, but there's got to be a law of average here. The Packers are going to be coming down from that high from week one, and the Lions are going to be coming in with a chip on their shoulder with something to prove. It won't be enough for the Lions, but all eyes are going to be on that defense that gave up 34 points to Kirk Cousins last week. It's going to be a win, but just like last week, the score shouldn't be as close as it'll end up being. Packers 30, Lions 24.
Okay, well, before I get to my prediction, The movie I was thinking of was Chariots of Fire, very famous theme by Vangelis.
Right.
And they were in
the early 80s, not the early 70s.
I know.
Dude, I was like in fifth grade.
Hey, so sorry. It wasn't about marathon runners. They actually were running in the 24 Olympics, but they were track athletes. I think they were running the 400 meters or something.
I thought
like
the miler, but okay.
No, and it was the 400 meters or something. So anyway, so I just wanted to get that out there. Now, to my prediction. Last week was my sell the kids, bet the house lock of the year. If you didn't place a wager, shame on you, because I'm unlikely to have another one, especially one that's right. The Packers face the Lions this week, a team that twice last season had the Packers beat until the last play of the game. You can be sure the Packers remember that, and they will not let it get that close. I expect a high-scoring game, similar to the Vikings game, but the Packers win without any last-play drama this time. Green Bay 37, Detroit 26.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 11th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcatching app. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. That's a wrap. Go, Pack, go.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hey, don't say anything bad.
Where are the bodies buried?
He's Italian. That's not funny.
Yeah, I'm not laughing.